Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today of Women Leading the Way, and I am delighted to share that we have a leading man today, not a leading lady, we have a leading man. And with us, we're going to be talking today about the beta on women leadership. And I think there's some different definitions here of beta, but we're going to ask our leading man. Our leading man today, I want to just give a hearty welcome, is Knight Campbell. He's the co-founder, the guide, and the coach of Karen Leadership Strategies. So, Mr. Knight, say hello to all of our listeners and welcome.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Michelle, and thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited to have you on here. We have to tell out of full disclosure, we tried round one this morning, but you know, what do you do when technical difficulties happen? You go to round two and you're like, you try again. I know there's books on it, there's movies on try yet again, but that's what we're doing. And I know this one's going to work really great. No technical difficulties, right? Thumbs up, right, Knight?
That's right. And it's just more opportunity to drink coffee. So the day just keeps getting better.
There you go. I love it. Well, thank you for being on our show today, drinking coffee or not, and it is afternoon. I want to say hello to all of our international listeners, along with those in the U.S., but, you know, I want to talk about this thing called the beta on women leadership, and, you know, you have a really unique way that you obviously bring up leadership principles and kind of the training and learning that you do under leadership. So I'm curious on two fronts, if you could give us just a brief overview about Karen Leadership Strategies and all that you do. And then on the second one, it's like, tell us what the beta on women leadership is all about.
Yeah, wow. I'll try to keep that down to 24 hours of speaking. So the Karen Leadership Strategies, we're named after the stacks of stones you might have seen on the sides of trails where people leave cairns or stacks of stones to help people find their way when they can't really see where to go. Maybe the weather's bad. Maybe there's no trail to follow. And we're all about taking people outdoors on shared adventures so that we can create community and help people experience leadership with real results. Like, you go out on a mountain or a hike, the decisions you make impact your day significantly. And we believe without experiential learning like that, you can't learn leadership, because it's a relationship and it's a skill. So let's talk about beta. I love that this is called the beta for women's leadership, because the beta is there's no beta. If you're listening to beta, you should stop. In climbing and rock climbing, where we do most of our work, beta is just where people tell other people how to do stuff, basically advice. And, you know, there's a lot of advice out there, but the real advice is
right.
Climb your climb. You get to the top better doing things authentically rather than trying to follow other people's advice.
I love that. I got to tell you, though, seriously, when I saw the title of the show, I was like, beta. To me, as an 80s lady, if I can put it that way, right, because I grew up in the whole – you know, beginning of the computer industry, and beta was always testing. Like, you're in beta testing. So it means you're always, like, to me, it's like I was thinking, oh, this is like we're all a work in progress, you know, because beta testing means you're tweaking it, you're trying it, you know. And to me, women in leadership is really, you know, many times it's not a exact science, if I can say that. I always feel that we're a work in progress, and I learn every time, you know, as a leader, a female leader, whatever I want to call myself. But you know, have you heard that term for beta before? It's like a testing kind of thing. So we're kind of testing ourselves and tweaking is how I took it.
Yeah, I love that. I have. And I love that idea of constant learning. That's one of the main reasons we always include coaching with what we do is because you get fantastic leadership training, you go to a conference, you do a retreat, and then you just forget all of that when you come back to 200 emails in your inbox and all the stress of regular life. And we really believe that leadership is a lifelong journey of growth and excellence and exploration, and it should be fun. It should be an exciting thing. So I like your definition a lot better. But
no,
I think in the
rock climbing.
Yeah, in our community, it's called, there are people called beta sprayers. And for anyone who's been climbing or walked by a place where people are climbing, you'll always see one or two. And they're usually the guys with their significant other, and they're, you know, saying, hey, use your right foot. No, pull harder on that one. No, you got to use your right. Use your right hand and then pull on that and then step up on that. And it's just this constant verbal diarrhea of advice. And, you know, my wife, she's a mountaineer. She's about to finish medical school. She's a partner in our company. And she really cued me into that, how annoying that could be as a woman trying to climb and have fun and recreate and find your power on the rock wall to have someone just constantly giving advice as if you can't figure it out yourself.
Dang, I love that. I mean, again, you know, never assume, right? It's kind of our message here is like, you know, there's always a different message on something, or people have different experiences and infer different things by different stuff. But I love that. I love your, and I know a little bit more about rock climbing now. Thank you for that, including Karen.
Great.
I had no idea what Karen was. So there you go. Love it. Here's my big question, because when I met, you know, when we first met, I was like, dude, what a cool idea, you know, to be able to kind of like do these, what I call, you know, excursions or experiences on leadership. I mean,
sure.
You know, I've been through some in the past, which were team building in my corporate career, but I'm curious for you, it's like, how did this come about where this is what Karen Leadership is, this is what floats your boat? I mean, how did you get into this niche of creating these incredible experiences, you know, on leadership in the outdoors and with rock climbing and hiking and all the things that you do? Where did the inspiration come from?
Yeah, there's got to be, you know, one or two great puns, like it was organic or it was a natural progression. I'll leave those off the table. You know, I flew helicopters for the Navy for 10 years, and I got the opportunity to teach leadership at the Naval Academy. And, you know, I taught this class, and when I got offered this opportunity, I was really excited. I was like, wow, they offer leadership classes at the Naval Academy now. And then it turns out that I took that class, you know, 6 or 7 years ago when I was a midshipman there. I didn't even remember taking the class. It's not like I didn't remember the material. I didn't even remember the class, period. And that really, I love teaching it, but I knew that most of what I was trying to get across to students that I knew was really important wasn't getting across, because it's just someone standing up in front of the class. And we started working with the mountaineering team at the Naval Academy. I started working with the medical school that my wife now attends. And we started taking people on mountaineering trips in these really quite extreme conditions up in New Hampshire, where it was 100-mile-an-hour winds and negative 80 degrees. And people took a lot away from that. We would hike up. Obviously, someone, you know, everyone at some point would kind of shut down, which is life, right? You get stressed out. You have all this stuff going on. It doesn't have to be wind and cold and weather. It can be life. And eventually you shut down. And knowing where that point is as a leader is just so critical, because then you can turn to someone else and say, hey, I need a breather. I need you to take over, or I need to go for a walk for a minute, instead of destroying relationships or making bad or hasty decisions. And so I saw the power of it there on the mountain. And as I was transitioning out of active duty with the Navy, I was thinking where I've learned the most lessons in my life is clearly in the mountains, clearly outdoors, and I want to bring this to other leaders. And then I started working for National Outdoor Leadership School, where we do 30-day expeditions, and they're truly life-changing. They're really profound and amazing. And I'm sure that you can attest, as a CEO and a business person, you don't have 30 days to go out in the wilderness, right?
Yeah, right,
so
exactly.
I thought, why not provide something like this, this experience, this clarity, this peacefulness, this shared adventure and challenge outdoors that lasts for 2 hours or a weekend or something that people actually can use in the business world. So that's kind of where it came from for the overall company in Care and Leadership. And I'm happy to talk about why is this guy talking about women in leadership or what place do I have there as well.
I am positive our listeners are going, what does this guy have to say to me about women, about leadership? And I know I have to put it out there. It's like leadership should be genderless. But, you know, I mean, Knight, I love the conversations we've had because, you know, I want to get your, first of all, thank you for your service. I that story is incredible to me that that's what you saw. I mean, that's what makes an entrepreneur, you know, and then you've got this, and I'm going to call it thing called leadership that, you know, I see a lot of women that roll their eyes, you know, when they hear the word leadership because they're like, oh, yet again. I mean, it just becomes such a, you know, common word, and I think it's misunderstood. But, you know, without getting into that, I want to focus on this beta on women leadership. And, you know, talk to me about what you see, you know, that women, and you have a unique perspective because every time I talk to you, it's like I'm inspired when you really get women, you know, and their leadership struggles and their leadership intention. So I'm curious why the focus on women and what do you see, you know, that women have a harder time under the umbrella of leadership than men do. I'm curious kind of like what you see, not only through your years at the military, but even now in corporate America as you work with people.
Yeah, I could go so many ways with that. So I'll just pick one. You know, I'm a little bit ashamed to admit when I went to the Naval Academy the first time around, I truly believe that there's no place for women in the military. And now, of course, I'm married to a 10-year Marine veteran who's going through medical school. I've got a daughter. I've, you know, done yoga on the back of a warship with a captain who is a woman. I've been dressed down by my boss's boss, and my boss, who is a woman, stood up for me. And I saw great leadership from these women. And I also saw how hard it was, how much harder a woman had to work to have the same impact, to do the same things as a leader, to be respected in the same way that I just naturally get because I'm privileged as a white man in our society. So I think it's interesting. Like, I don't know how much I have to say. I've interviewed many, many women because as I embarked on this journey, I knew immediately that I had no expertise in what it's like to be a leader and a woman. And I've read lots and lots of books and I've observed a lot. And, you know, there are a couple of gentlemen and a couple of doctors who I met at the Naval Academy, David Smith and Brad Johnson, who are studying allyship and how men can help women in a less patronizing, not, oh, let me reach down and help you out, but more like get out of the way so that women can lead way. And one of their biggest keys is just listen. And I was actually talking to a climbing buddy this morning, and I was like, dude, I've got to talk about women and leadership to a bunch of women. Sometimes I feel like it's a little preposterous. And he's like, you don't need to talk. You need to just listen. And his perspective is valuable because he's a person of color. And he's got the same kind of, you know, he's a minority in a rock climbing world. And he's like, you're never going to understand where we're coming from. We just want you to listen. And so I think maybe this would be an awkward radio show if I just sit here and listen. But these conversations, I think, are really important to have.
Well, it is. And it's like, and you know, our take and our association, which is Connected Women of Influence, and we're always looking, you know, not to be, I mean, there's just so much bad media and for obvious reasons, right? We're not going to go there today or there. But, you know, I think there are so many good men that are there and championing women's advancement. I mean, there are men like you, there are men I've interviewed, you know, over the years. And, you know, we have members that are great men that really believe that, you know, hey, it is about, you know, gender equality and, you know, you can have it all and you can advance and you can still have, you know, a family and life, and maybe not so much balance. I don't know about that one yet. A jury's still out on that. But I'm curious for you, because, you know, and I love you said that you have a daughter, which I know is absolutely adorable, and then your wife, and those are two really big inspirations in your life. But what, you know, with the women you've seen, when you say you've heard they've struggled harder, I mean, I'm really curious to you, what have you seen that makes an amazing female leader? And I purposely use the word female leader because I think there's a difference in the behavior and the results on women versus men as leaders. And I'm curious if you, you know, what do you see that women do that make them amazing as leaders? You know, you've seen some of the best of the best,
yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen not such great stuff, but what makes an amazing woman leader, if you can share based on your perspective?
Wow. So I guess to revisit a little bit, why is this guy in the women's leadership world at all? I stumbled in a little bit when I started teaching. Well, I was teaching rock climbing for REI, and REI a couple years ago had this big campaign saying it's a level playing field and women have equal access and equal ability outdoors. And so they did all these women specific classes, and I got put on one, ironically, because there aren't enough women are underrepresented in guiding, especially rock climbing guiding currently. And hopefully that's something that's being fixed as we talk. But I got in this class, and the difference was just incredible. I saw this group of women, you know, even with one man there, all of a sudden there's this ego component of, you know, testing each other and seeing who can get to the top and who can't, and who's a better climber and who's stronger. And there wasn't any of this for these women, but it wasn't what you might expect either of a bunch of, you know, people out there, women out there saying, oh, it's okay, it's fine, you don't have to get to the top, just be comfortable. They challenged and pushed each other, and they said, hey, you can do this. And they're supporting and pushing each other, and it was awesome. It was this awesome thing. And I saw that, and I was like, there's something here. Having women do these things, share these adventures and challenges together is so empowering and brings out the best of what women have to offer as leaders. So that leads me
I like that.
To, I guess, the core message that I have, and that is, don't listen to the beta. The beta, as we say, the advice, there's so much out there. Lean in, be more assertive, step up to the table, be aggressive, speak up for yourself, be a better negotiator, don't accept less. And yes, none of those are bad things, but the underlying message to me is, if you want to succeed as a woman and a leader, you should lead more like a man. You need to act like a man. You need to only do what men do, which is great for me as a man, right? Now I just made a level playing field. I've made it so that everyone has to play by my rules. But to answer your question, women bring so much unique capability that I think is becoming more and more important today. I'm on the top end of millennial generation, and millennials want purpose. They want relationship and community where they work. They want to feel like they're changing the world and doing important things. And they vote with their feet. If leaders don't provide that, they walk away. And so you see the whole business community and the business world saying, oh, millennials quit and they're these terrible people. But is it because they're terrible people, or is it because the leadership that they're receiving is subpar? It's the old model of, you stay in the organization, you work hard, you're competitive and aggressive, and you get to the top one day and you just grind through it. Well, that doesn't cut it anymore. And in general, and I have to say that, right? My wife is way more decisive and assertive than I am. And so all of this is with a broad paintbrush, but women are more inclusive. Women consult other people and bring them into decisions, and then unfairly get punished for being indecisive when really they create decisions that everyone has buy-in. You have the millennials on your team who are saying, wow, I'm part of this decision. I have purpose. This is great. And so that leadership just speaks to these younger generations in a way that a traditionally male leader wouldn't be able to. Women, there's research how women decide. There's a book I highly recommend it. It's fantastic. And under stress, men tend to make riskier decisions. And I mean, we could go through a litany of examples of that, like 2008 and Enron and all these masculine testosterone driven cultures where when things get a little bit stressful, we just take the stress or the risky decision, where women tend to step back and deliberate and make a better decision. Now, if you have a business that embraces both of those, that has leaders and the space for a man to say like, hey, we need to be aggressive here. Let's take the moment, seize the moment and capitalize on it. And a woman who says, yeah, I hear that. And here are all the bad things that could happen. Let's think about it for one more day. Like that decision is going to be way better than either or the masculine or the feminine model of decision-making of leadership. So really think that we're shooting ourselves, we as in the men in leadership, are shooting ourselves in the foot by saying we want you to lead like men because it's more comfortable to us. And the great companies are going to be the ones who open up the door for women to lead authentically.
I love that. And I interrupted because I was like, oh my God, I can hear our listening audience just going, yay. It's like they're going, yay, you know, because it's tough. And it's like, you know, I've had numerous conversations tonight where, you know, just because you've gone through the company approved leadership program, you know, that women will, you know, they want to exhibit some of the tactics and the behaviors that they have told they should do as a good leader. And they do, and it's just different results for women. So if I can back up a minute, you know, you started to talk about how incredible these experiences and these excursions are with more adventure type leadership training. And I'm curious, it's like, you know, and we can keep in with the women lane, for the women that you've worked with, I mean, what are some of the big aha moments that they've had when they're not, you know, when you're not in a ballroom environment with yet a workbook and another PowerPoint presentation? I'm like, what? I mean, you have the eye, the earth, the wind, the sky, and the air, right? So it's like, how do you do leadership development when you're on the fly and doing hiking or rock climbing? I just visualize that for our listening audience.
Yeah, I love taking a group of women or a woman out coaching and rock climbing because, Michelle, the first thing that almost every woman I talk to who isn't already a rock climber says, oh, I can't rock climb. I'm not strong, which is, you know, that, that's a problem right there. I'm not strong. And what's really cool about rock climbing, like, I'm not a great climber. I often power through moves. I use my strength as a man, my upper body strength as a crutch. And then I get tired halfway up, and then I fall off because I can't hold on anymore. And I watch my wife climb, and she uses balance, and she uses her feet and good technique, and she finds places to rest and be strategic. And I mean, if you're not picking up the leadership parallels here, it's perfect, right? And these people that I take out, these women I take out, start out saying, I'm not strong, and looking at this cliff and thinking, oh, this is something I can't do, which is a societal message, right? You can't be an adrenaline junkie. You can't be adventurous. You have to stay home. We don't want you to be out there climbing rocks. And then they use their natural strengths. They use balance. They use their feet. They use where they're powerful in their legs. They use strategy and take breaks and use poise and core power. I mean, women are so much better at sit-ups. It's incredible. They use their core power. And they get up this thing. And they don't only get up to the top, but they get up to the top and come back down asking, like, which one can I climb next? Whereas I'm sweating and huffing and puffing and saying, I need a break. And you can imagine when that happens for anyone, their first thought is, well, where else am I limiting myself? Where else am I telling myself a story or believing a story that society's told me for years of what I can't do and what can I do when I tap into my own strengths and talents in the way that I do things instead of listening to the rhetoric of lean in and be assertive and all these other things, which again, aren't bad depending on the situation, but shouldn't be the only thing.
No, I think that's great. I mean, I love it. And you know, for the listeners, like, what do you make these kind of pointed aha moments with people when you see what they experience at the actual quote event, or, you know, at the end of it, you kind of go, and there lies the lesson? Or, you know, do you just point out different individuals' experiences and say, and you point out the leadership lessons? What's kind of like the rock climbing like, where you learn the leadership parts of it?
Yeah, and I love rock climbing, but it could be a hike. It could be, you know, a walk around Balboa Park. It could be different challenges outdoors. It could be camping. A lot of people haven't really camped outside overnight, and that's a scary thing if you haven't done it. So overcoming these challenges is where the power is, right? If you believe that you can't do something and you do it, that's where we create excellent leaders at Karen Leadership. And Michelle, I'm a coach, so I don't tell a whole lot. I listen a lot, and I ask powerful questions. And the powerful question typically is something like, what came up for you while you were climbing? And people get it. People immediately say, I thought I couldn't do it, and then I did it. And my mind's spinning with all the other possibilities of things that I could do. Or I just couldn't let go of control and couldn't trust you. I was terrified. And then finally I listened and I let go and I trusted that you would catch me, and you did. And then I had all this space and I could think and I solved the problem and it was great. Or I was just fixated on this one hold and I couldn't like look around me because I had to make that work. But then I realized that there's another hold, another foot over, and I used that and it was great. And I wonder what other possibilities am I missing because I'm fixated in my leadership. And so people, I mean, there's a whole laundry list of things that people will say like that. And I just nod and smile and say, that's amazing. And we should do some coaching in another week or two to follow up on how you're using that insight now.
I love it. I can't believe we only have a few minutes left. And I'm like, I'm sure everybody's like fascinated to know more about what you do. I mean, it goes fast. And I know you've got a new program, I think, that you're launching. Is that right? You call it the Crux Society. Tell us a little bit about that.
We do.
And if listeners want to reach you, not only give a quick little overview about the Crux Society, but how can people reach you if they want to find you and know more about what all you do? Because I think it's amazing.
Yeah, we are so my other business partner, Abigail Jones, is our COO, and we've cooked up this Crux Society, and it's all about shared adventures outdoors and community and learning from experience. So we take people out on weekend retreats where we have opportunities for people to practice leadership real time. It might be leading, cooking a camp meal, or leading an exercise on a hike, or finding your way, or whatever it is. And then we do monthly coaching and monthly peer mentoring to help people grow. And we're just really excited about growing that. More appropriate, I think, for this audience, we actually have in September the 28th and 29th, a collaboration with Outdoor Women's Alliance, and Abigail and another associate guide are going to take a group of 12 women out to camp and do yoga and have discussions, and it's all women. They wouldn't even invite me, which I'm a little bit hurt about, but I totally get out of Joshua Tree. So all that information is on our website, KarenLeadership.com. And you can, of course, email me, Knight@KarenLeadership.com, or give me a call, 410-980-6458. However you contact us, we're super happy to talk. And if I ever say something in this venue, I want to respect women are out there leading, and I will totally buy you a cup of coffee and listen to what I got wrong.
I love it. I love it. Well, yeah, that's going to get you some phone calls, that alone. But I want to say, we're going to have a link to your website. Yeah, we're going to have a link to your site. So if they want to sign up for the Joshua Tree event, or there's more information about your Crux Society on your website too, which is KarenLeadership.com.
Right.
Awesome. And listen, I'm going to, you know, I always wrap it up because I think you've got so much going for you. And, you know, I'm sure if our listeners have questions, but I really want to say, just as a female to you, you know, as a leader and somebody who's a different gender than myself, I think you've got some crazy good perspective that even has surprised me, and I've been around the block quite a few years. So I want to encourage our listeners to check out Karen Leadership. And Knight, thank you for being our leading man today. But I have a question for you as I wrap up on my show, and it's a big question. So I know you can think fast on your feet, but you know, if you kind of think about something that you can leave us with that will inspire us or motivate us, I know we're not in the outdoors and we're not outside. Most of us are working in our cubicles or our work environment. But what's something that you can leave us with that will just go, you made my day, dude?
Yeah, I'm going to steal here
no
from The Confidence Code. It's one of my favorite books. And the code for confidence for women, the authors say, is think less, take action, be authentic. I think that's powerful.
Whoop. And that's the confidence code you said? Because that's a drop the mic. I love that. Confidence or?
The confidence
is that the name
code,
of the book?
Yeah.
I've read that book. That's, and
highly
then there was
recommend
the other
it.
Book that you mentioned. What was the book you mentioned earlier
yeah.
in the show for just for our listeners again?
How Women Decide. Great. It's a weird title, and I almost didn't read it because of the title, but the text in that book is profound. It's definitely worth reading.
Based on decision-making. Love the resources. So I believe, Knight, I'm being a little bit proactive, but we've invited you to be one of our radio show hosts in 2020, so I hope you'll take advantage of that, especially now that I have it on radio. To our listeners,
yeah.
I just want to say thank you for listening. No pressure, right? I want
no
to thank
pressure.
You for being our leading man today, because usually we have leading ladies, so this was a treat. And to all of our listeners, you know, we're here every Monday at 9 a.m., except for today, every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific time. And, you know, we're international as well, and we really appreciate your loyalty. We've been doing this for a while, and we always want to hear if there's something we can talk on or dish about as it relates to women leading the way in business and industry. We are all about it. So for that, I will leave you, and I like to say as a challenge, you know, what are you doing to support and advocate for other women? It's like we alone can move the needle forward. Together, we're better. Have a great week, and we'll see you on the next show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.